Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. We are up to Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7. We may actually finish the chapter today. We'll have to see. We're up to the borders of Menashe. Now that we talked about the daughters of Tzlafchad and how they received their portion within the tribal land. So Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7, informs us about the northern border of Menashe. We're not going to be going through this city by city and site by site. I just wanted to note a couple of things in this section. So we're told here, Vayhi Gavul Menashe Mei Asher. The boundary of Menashe is from Asher. According to Professor Kiel in the Dot Mikra, this is either a city called Asher or a reference to Shevet Asher, the tribe of Asher, because if you jump ahead to sentence 10, we are told the Negba le'Ephraim, that south of Menashe is Ephraim, right? That we already knew. We said Yehuda's in the south, Binyamin is over Yehuda. And then we said, as you go further north, you hit Menashe, and then you hit Ephraim. So south of Menashe is Ephraim. Vitzafona l'Menashe, and then north, the northern part is Menashe. Vayi hayam gvulo, and his boundary in the west is the Mediterranean. And then it says, uva asher yifgu'un mitzafon ubi yisachar mimizrach. North of them is going to be Asher, and east of them is going to be Yisachar. It's really kind of northeast. If you remember the map that I sent out, maybe I'll send it out on the WhatsApp again and attach it to this recording as well. So Asher and Naphtali are way north. So Asher is going to be north of Menashe, and Yisachar is going to be northeast of Menashe. So the text here, sentences 7 to 10, detail the southern border of Menashe, running from east to west. It runs just south of the city of Shechem, that southern border. So Shechem is in Menashe, and then we're told that south of Menashe is Ephraim, and Menashe runs to the Mediterranean in the west. Asher is northwest. Yisachar is north northwest. I should say Yisachar is northeast. We are also told in sentence 11, and this I wanted to spend a minute on, after showing the boundaries of Menashe, it then says, Vayhi leMenashe b'Yisachar u'ba'Asher. Menashe received within Yisachar and Asher these northern tribes that bound Menashe. Menashe gets within their territory the following cities: Beit She'an, Yivla'am, Yoshve Dor, Dor and Ein Dor as well, and Ta'anach and Megiddo. They receive those cities that are actually within the land of Asher. Unfortunately, it goes on to say, V'lo yachlu b'nei Menashe l'horishas ha'arim ha'ela. Menashe was not able to actually take those cities. V'yo'al ha'knani l'sheves ba'aretz hazos, and the Kanani stay within the land. When the Jews became stronger, so the Canaanim ended up paying tribute to the Jews, but they were not, their society was not disbanded, as we discussed in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. So that Menashe's description, the description of Menashe's land, ends the same way that the description of Yehuda's land ended, and the description of Ephraim's land ended as well, which is to say, they didn't actually do what they were supposed to do in terms of disbanding Canaanite society. Okay, what I wanted to note, though, about these cities that are in Asher is, first of all, these cities are known to us. We actually are aware of these cities from elsewhere in Tanakh. First of all, this past Shabbos in the Haftorah, we read about the war of Devorah and Barak against Yavin and Sisera of Canaan, as appears in Shoftim chapters 4 and 5. It also appears in Tehillim chapter 83. And there, in those places, we mention the cities Ta'anach, Megiddo, Ein Dor. So that war took place in this region that is really just north of Menashe in the land of Yisachar and Asher. Also, the cities of Yivla'am and Megiddo, Those show up in the war of King Yoshiyahu against Mitzrayim, against Egypt, in Malachim Beis, chapter 9, the war in which Yoshiyahu was killed. So Yivlaam and Megiddo show up there. So that war also took place here. How is it that Menashe received cities in somebody else's land? So the simple read is, it just happened. Look, they got this land. However, we're going to see the Malbim in a little bit, who's going to say, we're going to see that there's a complaint from the sons of Yosef regarding their land. They need more land. And Yehoshua is going to give them something. So the Malbim is going to say, that's these cities. That's what they're getting due to their complaint. Okay. So that's just boundaries of Menashe, where Menashe is. Hopefully that was somewhat clear. Hopefully you'll be able to see on the map, and that'll make things even more clear. But then we get to the last part of this chapter, sentences 14 to 18, in which there's a request for more land. Vayedabru b'nei Yosef es Yehoshua le'mor. The sons of Yosef come to Yehoshua saying, Madua nasateli nachala goral echad v'chevel echad. Why did you give me a portion that is one lot, one portion? Va'ani amrav. There are a lot of us. Ad asher adko beirachni Hashem. To the point where Hashem has given me this tremendous bracha. We've become so big. Beirachni, I should say, Hashem. We've become so big. How is it that you've given us such a small portion? Before we get to the response that Yehoshua brings, there are a few things that are difficult here. Number one, we're saying B'nai Yosef, right? B'nai Yosef, the sons of Yosef are complaining. And we're going to see that again in sentence 16, Vayamru B'nai Yosef. Then further along, it's going to say Yehoshua responds in sentence 17, El Beit Yosef, to the house of Yosef, Le Ephraim v'le Menashe, to Ephraim and Menashe. It's going to enumerate them. Which is it? What's going on? That's number one. Number two, if it really is Ephraim and Menashe complaining together, it says they received Goral Echad, one lot. They didn't receive one lot. They received separate portions. It's a second problem. And number three, Ephraim actually isn't that large. They actually shrunk between year 1 and year 40. In year 1, year 2, their census has them at 40,500. By the end of Sefer Bamidbar, on the verge of entering Israel, they're 32,500. So Ephraim has actually been reduced. And as far as Menashe, this is only part of Menashe. The other part of Menashe is east of the Yarden. So what exactly are their unmet needs? So two approaches. Primary approach, Rashi, Radak, Abarbanel, is that the complaint is only from Menashe. It's not, Ephraim is not part of the complaint. What is it that they are complaining about? So Rashi and Radak, Abarbanel has another take, but I'm going to stick with Rashi and Radak here. Rashi and Radak say the complaint is actually because in the lottery, each tribal portion was of equal size. Remember we discussed the problem, the fact that the Torah says on the one hand that your lottery is supposed to be random, you're doing it as a lottery, and then on the other hand it says give the larger tribes larger and give the smaller tribes smaller. So the view of Rashi and Radak was that the tribal portions were actually equal, and then the lottery determined, this was more Radak, the lottery determined who received better quality lots, and then they compensated financially those who received worse lots. So that's point number one, is that the tribal portions are of equal size. Number two, the land is distributed based on who left Egypt. That's how you divide it up. When it said, La'ela techalei ka'aretz, divide up the land to these, it meant to exclude those who had been too young when they left Egypt. And the problem is that Ephraim may have shrunk, but Menashe grew. Granted that the portion that we have is only part of Menashe, west of the Yarden, nonetheless, it's true. Menashe went from being, in that original census, 32,200 to becoming 52,700, right? So Ephraim had actually shrunk. Ephraim went from 40 and change to 32 and change. But Menashe went from 32 and change to 52 and change. So Menashe is receiving land based on a calculation, based on a census, that doesn't account for their true size. So the evidence to support this point is that it's Menashe complaining and it's really about the size of their land and needing more space. The census certainly supports that. Another point that supports the idea that it's Menashe specifically who's complaining is the fact that this passage mentions the mountain and Beit Sha'an, which may be understood to be places that are in Menashe's portion. So it'll be Menashe who's doing the complaining. Rashi also has an interesting note that they said back in their complaint, the end of sentence 14, Ad asher ad ko berachani Hashem. Up to this point, Hashem has blessed me. It's kind of an awkward framing. So Rashi says they increased 20,500 between the censuses. Ko, right? Chaf, hey. The chaf is 20. The hey is 20,500. So that's their increase between the censuses. The other way to read Ad Asher Ad Ko is like Ko Yezarecha. Hashem said to Avraham, Ko, like this, expanding will be your kids. But in any case, the only problem with this idea that it's Menashe who's complaining is then what's the reference to Ephraim when Yeshua responds and he speaks to Ephraim as well? So two answers. One answer is that's just part of Yeshua's advice. It's Ephraim, join forces with Menashe to help them out. That's one way to take it. Or Abarbanel suggests that Ephraim chimes in to help with the complaint, and so Yeshua addresses both of them. Ephraim joins into the complaint of Menashe. All of this is one school of thought that says that the complaint is really coming from Menashe. They grew a lot. The land assigned to them when they first left, you know, based on the census when they first left Egypt, is insufficient. And Yeshua says, you're going to have to conquer the land. That's where he's going with it. And he's going to ask Ephraim to help them out. Ralbag says, no, it's Menashe and Ephraim talking together. Then what do you mean when you say we received one portion? What are you talking about? Ralbag says it's literal. They actually received one portion. That's what they got. There was one unit, and it was so constraining, he says, that they actually couldn't fit. And remember I said to you that they receive land. Menashe receives cities in Asher, in Yisachar. The reason why they received those cities was because of this issue, was because it was so constraining. That's the argument that Ralbag says. It's Menashe and Ephraim complaining because, in fact, they got just one portion. Ralbag also suggests that maybe it wasn't just about the current population. It's also, hey, we want room for expansion. We have plans. So what happens? So maybe, you know, we'll hold that for tomorrow. We'll see what Yeshua's response was. I don't want to rush that. Thank you very much.